You know more because you start your day with Andrew McKay, the Pensacola Morning News, 5 till 9 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
And AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And joining us now, we have Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. We have a lot to get to with you and things and all different kinds of things. I want to start with the most awful one, okay? You had to do a press conference this week dealing with the death of this young girl, Jasmine Singletary, and the arrest of her mother. This is one of the most horrible things. We all recognize it. We all know it. It was, I mean, just heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking. To me, there are really two things that it makes me think about. And number one is parents deal with anger, and parents do things in anger, like all humans, that they would regret. What should parents do if they're starting to feel anything like the impulse to hurt their kids? Because you know that happens all the time. And this is why we have kids get hurt all the time, is because of parents who don't have the ability to control themselves, right?
Yeah, the first thing they need to do is walk away, and they need to talk to somebody and let them know that, you know, whether it be some sort of a disability that is very trying, and they have to work a lot. There's a lot that goes into taking care of a child. Just talk to somebody and say, this is getting to me. I need some help. I can't do this alone. I tried, because that's what I'm supposed to do as a mother or a father. I tried real hard, but it's starting to take its toll on me, and I need some help.
Yeah, and because I said this the other day, but I'll say it again. The thing you're afraid of happening if you try to get help is way less awful than what will happen if you don't get help.
Yeah, just because you're asking for help doesn't mean anybody's going to take the child or anything like that. There's different, there's different levels of help, and that's certainly the thing that needs to be done.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's this story, and you know, the other thing that I wanted to ask you about with this is the investigator or investigators who deal with these cases. We've talked about this before, but mental health for your people who investigate these kinds of crimes, I can't even imagine what is done for them.
It's tough. You know, they investigate, unfortunately, crimes with involving children a lot, whether it's child porn all the way up to what we just experienced this week. And these investigators, it's tough on them. And you know that we've, have a program going now where officers can go anytime they want to seek counseling. But, you know, Keith Turney is the one that investigated this, and he's one of our very best. And he worked on it a long time and did a fantastic job putting this together.
I did actually have one other question about this. I know a lot of people have asked this. The reports all indicated that the grandmother was also present in the room somehow or other. Is there... And people have asked the question, why didn't she do something? They've also asked the question, why is she not being charged? Can you maybe address that for a second?
Absolutely. I'll tell you that the investigation is not over.
Okay. All right. So the fact that one person has been arrested does not say that nobody else would be, or that nothing else is coming.
That's correct. That part of it's not finished yet. The investigator's still looking into that, and we'll see where that leads us.
Okay. All right. I will obviously, that doesn't surprise me, but that also sort of answers the question without answering it, because you can't answer it, given the fact of, if you could answer it, we would have already had a release about this. So fair enough. One of the other things that, and by the way, I've known you a long time. I know you pretty well. I know you were very heavily involved in crafting the response, at least I assume this, in crafting the response that Chief Randall read, and I thought it was very appropriately handled, and I appreciate the thought that went into that, and it shows your training and compassion, and just, I just wanted to give you kudos for that. I know you don't like this, makes you feel uncomfortable, but you know, I did want to say I appreciated that, and I recognize that. You guys also had an event this week where you had a man basically caught trying to flee the city at the airport for a shooting, right?
Yeah, you know, and this is another one. If, you know, hats off to our investigators. They got on this case, and, you know, it happened last week, and worked on it just as quickly as they could. And they were able to put their hands on this man just minutes before he was boarding a one-way flight to Seattle. They arrested him at the Pensacola airport. I believe his flight was at 9:58, and they arrested him at 9:22 a.m.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, it's great police work. Congratulations. But it seems like it's like, you know, TV show or movie stuff where the, you know, the criminal's trying to flee the area, and, you know, we caught him at the airport. So, well, how did the tip come in? Can you say? Like, how did you figure out that that's where he was and that's what was happening?
Well, I mean, that sort of thing can happen again, so I'd rather not get into that. But it wasn't just, you know, well, he bought a ticket and that put up a red flag and officers met him there. It was so much more than that. They bird dogged this case and were able to get to him just in time.
All right. I'll, again, take your word for it, and I certainly wouldn't want to disclose any kind of methods that would interfere with you guys being able to use that same method again in the future. We also had another shooting. When I go on vacation, you know, I guess I can't ever go on a vacation again. We had an accidental discharge. I guess it was accidental at Seville Quarter. Is that right, where the woman from Chicago had a gun?
Well, it didn't happen at Seville. It happened at the corner of Jefferson and Government, which is right outside the business.
Thank you for clarifying.
There was a large
yes.
fight as the, as the bar was dismissing. There was a large fight outside, and this female had removed a gun from her sister's apartment and took it downtown. And the fight happened. She got knocked to the ground. The gun fell out of her waistband, and when she went to retrieve it, it went off. And we're just very fortunate that the injuries to that man or anyone else were not worse. He was struck in the hand. So police were there. They were right there. In fact, the last three downtown shootings over the last year and a half, I believe it is, officers were right there when the shooting occurred. So they were able to make their arrest immediately.
Well, that's good. Why did she take a gun to the bar?
Your guess is as good as mine. You know, that's the second time in a week or two that we've had accidental discharge of a weapon.
Yeah.
That, you know, the person that was in a bar. So, you know, even if you have a legal carry concealed permit, you cannot take the weapon inside of a bar.
Right.
That's the thing that people make.
It's one of the basic rules. You can't take it to a school. You can't take it to a bar. I mean, fairly simple rules. But did she even have a permit? I mean, she's from Chicago. I assume she didn't have a carry permit.
No.
Okay.
She didn't.
All right. You know, you and I often talk about a cop myth. You got a cop myth for this week?
Yeah, it's that every police officer knows everything about what's going on. You know, with the exception of me, it's my job to know. But officers get asked all the time, do you know what happened at Knights and Cervantes last night at 9:30? And, you know, they don't. And, you know, we have interdepartmental emails on major things that happen, and everyone knows, you know, people know about that. But no, they don't know. And when they're off, they want to be off. They're not listening to their radios all the time and studying what's going on. So, but that's something that we're used to as police officers. People think that we know exactly what's going on sometimes. You know, sometimes we do it, but a lot of times we don't.
Well, I mean, the same thing's true in my business. People assume that I know what Cooper knows, or that I know what Mark knows, or what Bobby knows, or that I know what Channel 3 and the P&J know. You know, sometimes, yes, not always necessarily, and, you know, not always immediately either. So I'm with you on that one, brother. I appreciate it. Last one, and you know I have to ask. Feel free to say whatever you can say in your role as public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. The giant lifelike bronze statue of Sheriff Morgan. Comments?
Well, you know, I receive a lot of training in this field of work. 99% of it is communication. And then there's that one day in training right after lunch for 5 minutes, they teach you that 1% is when not to communicate or comment. And this is probably one of those.
I will take it. I will take it. I'm not surprised by that answer, but I wanted to give you a chance since it is a law enforcement related matter of sorts. I wanted to give you a chance if you had a comment for it. Mike Wood, he is public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Sometimes you just got to know when not to say a thing at all. Mike, I so appreciate what you guys do, what you guys and gals do, and I appreciate your time with us this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Andrew.
You